All right, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. God is good. Today is a very special day. Because it is my wife's birthday today. So be sure to wish her a happy birthday. Prayer, blessing for her, bless her, encourage her, honor her. Not only am I saying this because she's my wife, but because she is, really, she serves the church here. I mean, I've known a lot of Samonims in my life, but I've never seen a Samo that gives of her heart so much to serve the church here. And so, man, I'm so proud of her as her pastor, but also I'm just really proud of her as her husband. And honey, you are doing a wonderful job of being a minister here. Yeah, I just want to honor you in that way. All right, and you know, we are all so joyed that you were born this day, 26 years ago. The word of God comes from Proverbs 14:4 today. Proverbs 14:4. This is a good message. This is a good message. The word of God says in Proverbs 14:4, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. Today, I'm going to talk about oxen. What is an ox? Let's begin with that. What is an ox? Okay, that's a good guess. Okay. Today, an ox is commonly used to refer to a castrated male bull used for drafting. So drafting involves like pulling carts, plowing, threshing, transporting, all of that. And some people call these animals beasts of burden because they're constantly pulling things and carrying things. Now, a cow is an adult female, and a bull is an ox with his stuff intact. Or in Australia, they call them Mickeys. I don't know if that's true. The Aussies in the house confirm that. And a maverick is a term that's used in America to refer to either gender. Hey, I just educated you on cattle. I know none of you in here had a background in cattle. If you did, say amen. Oh, okay, all right. God bless that. So this may be more meaningful to you. Now, although we have many terms for these animals today, historically, an ox was used as a non-gender-specific term for adult cattle. All right, so ox is just historically known to refer to both genders. Now, the Bible says, where there are oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. Abundant crops come by the strength of the ox, hallelujah. The New King James Version says, much increase comes by the strength of the ox. Church, I got a question for you. Do you want to see abundant crops?
Yes.
Do you want to see increase?
Yes.
Hallelujah, because I do. So that when you sow a little, you reap an abundance? Do you want to see an abundant harvest of souls come into the church at this time?
Yes.
Do you want to see increase in your life?
Yes.
Increase in revelation.
Yes.
Increase in wisdom. Increasing promotion, increase in finances, increase in the fruit of the Spirit, increase in the gifts of the Spirit, increase in the anointing power of God, increase in miracles, healing, signs, wonders, increase in the glory of God. Do you want the increase? Well, if you want the increase, you want abundant crops. Lift your hands and say, I want the increase. Come on. We'll do that. Let's be Pentecostal in here. I want the increase. I want the increase. I celebrate your hunger. But you know how you can tell between a person who really wants it and who really doesn't? You know how you can tell? It's by how a person deals with the mess of oxen. It's how you separate the truly hungry from the not so hungry. It's how people deal with the mess of the oxen. Let me spit the truth today. Oxen make a mess. Oxen make a mess. There ain't no oxen plowing the fields that doesn't poo all over the place. Because oxen make a mess. In fact, if you've ever seen what comes out of the ox, it's a big mess. And what is the first response that people make when they see the bowel movements of oxen or the thong of oxen? What are the responses people give? Ew. But that's nasty. You know, people look away. They get disgusted. They lose their appetite. They say things like, that's nasty. That stinks. They stay far away from the mess of oxen. The mess that oxen make, it's so nasty, it's made its way into the English curse words. It's nasty. It's nasty. And I'm here to tell you today, you've got to learn how to honor the ox. You got to learn how to honor the work that is being done through the ox, because the oxen make a big mess, but they are the ones that bring in the harvest. They're the ones that bring in the increase. I am an ox. Hallelujah. I'm an ox. You know, I got no problems with that. I think being an ox is pretty cool. You know, The Rock. Dwayne Roberts, the wrestler, The Rock, man. You know, he has his big tattoo of a bull right on his arm. Is it on his arm? It's on his arm. That's one of his trademark symbols, is a bull. He sees himself as an ox. And Brombo, you don't want to mess with him. And he actually has his finishing move where it's sort of like, you know, it's like this football tackle. It's like an ox charging you. Anyway, hallelujah. I think it's pretty cool to be an ox. I am an ox. I make a big mess. But God uses me to bring increase to the king's dominion. Amen. Without me, the manger may remain clean, but you won't see any crops. You are also an ox. I ain't no ox. That's not biblical. I beg to defer. Psalm 92, verse 10. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me. You are an ox. Just get with it. You are an ox. Pastor Christian, are you calling me a cow? I'm offended. Yes. You big old cow. You're an ox. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9 to 10. The Apostle Paul says, it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading down the grain. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Okay. The law of God says in Deuteronomy 25:4, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. In other words, don't be all getting in the ox's way and trying to like muzzle his mouth and mess up. Don't muzzle the ox when he's doing his work. And most people only understood this to apply to oxen. But Paul, by the revelation of the Spirit, says this word is not just for oxen. God didn't give this word because he was concerned about oxen. He gave it because he was concerned about us. And the oxen that he's referred to here, It's talking about us. There's a spiritual truth that's hidden in this command. If you're still not convinced, you got to look at the way that God used this analogy at Apostle Paul's conversion. Acts 26, verse 14. When the Apostle Paul, formerly known as Saul, when he got converted on the road to Damascus, this is how he recounted it. He said, "And when we have fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.'" You'd be like, "What? I don't remember that." Okay, that's because the earlier version and account of his conversion doesn't have that last phrase. Doesn't mean it didn't happen, you see. It just was excluded on the first account of it. But later on in Acts 26, as he's appearing before these officials and he's recounting his testimony, he gives the real inside one. And Jesus didn't say, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And then ended there. Jesus said something real interesting. He said, "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." What is goads? Okay, I didn't know either, so I had to look it up. Okay, a goad is a cattle prod used to direct the ox. It's been used all throughout history. People use goads, these cattle prods, long sticks to make sure the ox go where it needs to go. In other words, my point is, Paul, God is calling Paul an ox here. And saying, "Stop kicking against the goats. Look, I'm telling you to go this way. Why are you persecuting me? I'm trying to get you to do the opposite. I'm trying to get you to add people to this Christian movement, and you're trying to kill people. Stop kicking against my goats here. You're my ox." If you look at the life of Paul, he was one strong ox. People beat him. People stoned him. But this ox wouldn't die. Oh. Just get right back up, charge right back into the city, and bring more people into the kingdom of God. So don't be so offended. God uses the ox analogy because there are some wonderful truths that apply to us. What, you only want cute animals to be applied to you? I'm a sheep. Or must you saw animal, like, "I'm a lion, but I ain't no ox. It's nasty." Well, get comfortable with it. Face the music. You're an ox. Tell your neighbor that right now. You are an ox. Man, you is an ox. It's good, it's good. Now, the fact of the matter is, when you and I do the will of God, when we do the will of the Father, in other words, when the oxen go to work, things can get messy. Things can get messy because oxen make a mess. But look, it's okay. It's okay that things get messy. Because although things might get messy, there's increase that's coming. There's an abundant harvest that's coming in. Hallelujah. And it can only come in through the strength of the ox. But can I tell you something? You can't have increase and abundance and revival without having to deal with a mess. Because oxen, they make a mess. Oxen, let's just face it, oxen are full of crap. Said it. Some people think the word crap is a curse word. Not in Philadelphia. All right. When I grew up on the streets, you used the word crap and everybody was like, "What?" It was like one of those like those cheesy curse words. You didn't use crap. You used the expletives. If you use crap, they're like, "Man, where'd you come from?" Anyway, I don't think the word crap, I don't know why some churches get hung up on that word. Crap. I mean, I'm just saying. Don't make me adjust, to your culture. I'm not making you adjust to mine, but I'm just saying, I don't think it's a curse word. Anyway, if it offends you, I'm sorry. I am making a mess right now. I'm sorry. But yeah, oxen are full of crap, and if you notice natural oxen, what do? They don't just go to the corner like your little puppy. All right, the oxen, they just go wherever they want. They're just making a mess everywhere. And you might say, man, that pastor, that minister is so full of it. It's so just, the minister is just full of it. But that person is so tactless. That person is just making a mess everywhere they go. Maybe you're right. He is full of it. Maybe he is being careless about certain things. Maybe he is speaking tactlessly and making a mess, leaving crap everywhere. But look, don't get so hung up on that. Don't get so hung up on that. Let's celebrate the increase and the outpouring that took place. Which would you rather have? Abundant crops or a clean manger? How hungry are you for the increase? And you know, check this out. Don't be so critical pointing your finger at others and saying he's full of it. Because you're an ox too. Which means you're full of it. They might be full of it, but you're full of it too. Tell your neighbor that right now. You're full of it too. Stop being so critical because you know you got some. You've been making mistakes. You've been saying stupid stuff. You're a mess. You're a mess. Come on. Say, I'm a mess. I make messes. I get messy. Everybody's got a belly, all right? Everybody makes a mess. Everybody makes a mess. But praise the Lord. God says, you're my mess. And check this out. Don't be so critical of people that are doing the ministry and making a mess. Because check this out. If you were doing the work of the ministry, if you were doing the hard work of pulling carts of revival and advancing the kingdom in the face of demonic opposition, you also will be subject to make a big mess. When you get involved with the work of God, there's opposition for the devil, opposition from people. Oh, it gets messy. If you were doing the same thing, you would make a mess too. You have limits, you got weaknesses, and all of that will no longer be hidden once you start doing the work of God. It will get all revealed because that's just the nature of oxen. Oxen make a mess. Oxen make a mess. I don't know where we got in our heads that we're supposed to do everything perfect and do everything neat and do everything clean. And when that doesn't happen, we don't want to work with that person. When that doesn't happen, we get critical of that work. We question everything. Just because it ain't all neat and clean and the way you want it. You know, back 6 years ago, when the Lord started to introduce me to the anointing and brought me into the renewing work of the Holy Spirit, I grew up in a largely conservative Christian background. I was a Presbyterian. I did not see the moves of God, neither did I hear of it. I just heard of it in a very critical manner all my life. And back 6 years ago, God started to introduce me to this work. And as I started to experience the power of God and the Holy Spirit's ministry, I used to get quite distracted and disturbed by physical manifestations. What do I mean by that? Physical manifestations. Sometimes on a church Sunday service here at Hillside, I'll ask people to come forward. Come forward, surrender your heart to Jesus. God wants to pour out his spirit upon you. And I'll call them forward, and some people come forward. They may have some experiences. They may never have had any experiences. And sometimes I'll just pray for people. And some people, they start crying. Some people, they just like, nothing happening. And other people, I pray. And then, boom, they get that fire of God on them. Or the Holy Spirit gets poured out on them. And then they look like they're getting electrocuted. Or they look like they're bowing, insighing or something. Or they fall to the ground. And their eyes are all fluttering. Physical manifestations. physical manifestation, that stuff used to distract me. It used to disturb me. Because you see, I was all about making sure everything is done in an orderly manner. And God is a God of order, by the way. God's a God of order. But you see, our ideas of order don't always fit with His. And see, because in the beginning of me experiencing all this, I wasn't used to all this mess. I didn't know that it was part. I didn't know it was part of the package. I didn't know that this is what comes with it. It's the mess of Holy Spirit's physical manifestations. And I'm not even at the mess of human flesh yet. We're going to get there. I'm just talking about the mess, what in the natural looks like a mess to us. In the spirit realm, people are getting healed, delivered, people getting empowered, called into the ministry. You can't see that. You're distracted by the mess. But I'm telling you right now, the harvest, the abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. The increase comes by the strength of the ox. And when this stuff started happening here at our church, you know, I would get very concerned by all the messy activity. Because everything felt beyond my control. And I just needed to understand. Like every person that was on the ground shaking, I needed to understand what was happening to them. And I didn't like the feeling of being out of control. So whenever a revival service would get a little messy, I would do or say things that will grieve the Holy Spirit. In my mind, I wanted God to hold off on ministers that have various character issues or who weren't well studied in the scriptures yet. I didn't want God to use them to bring revival. Why? Because they make a mess. In my mind, I said, God, they're disqualified. They're not qualified yet. Don't use them. And when God would use them, I would have this thing with God. Because in my mind, the mess was not okay. This is not God. This is not the God that I'm used to. This is not the order that I have in my mind. I just felt like the Holy Spirit was lovingly trying to bring renewal, trying to bring fresh perspective. But you see, what I didn't understand back then was abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. You know, our church is pretty fiery, if you haven't noticed. If you come into our service, there's a fire here. You know, you ever see Ray Lewis? He's a football player for the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens. God bless the Ravens. But there's a handful of Maryland people in here. God bless the Maryland people. They are one unique, but abundant crops will come by the strength of the Maryland people. Manger is definitely not clean when they're involved, but hallelujah. No, we love the Maryland people. Anyway, Ray Lewis, if you ever see him play, he gets on the field. He does this crazy dance, shout, ah! You know, Ray Lewis is actually, he's a Christian. But anyway, that's not the point I'm making. I'm just saying, when it gets on the field, that ball is on fire. Or when Brian Dawkins used to play for the Eagles, man, that ball was on fire. Brian Dawkins is actually a tongue-talking, spirit-filled Christian. He'll come onto the field. And there's a video of him where this NFL documentary guy is like, what are you doing? And when we mic'd you up, you were saying all these things. And he's like, oh, yeah, that was just me speaking in tongues. And the guy's like, why do you do that? That's strange. That's like so like weird. I'm just praying covering for myself, protection for myself. And anyway, that's fire, man. I mean, when you see football players, athletes, they do their thing. They're on fire. And people at this church, man, we are on fire. But look, we didn't get here overnight. There's some stuff we have to walk through to get our church to where we are at. Let me tell you a story. A couple years ago, way back, before I was the lead pastor here. In fact, Pastor David was still here. The pastor of Jubilee Church, he was still here. That's when the first outpouring of fire occurred right here in this sanctuary. Everybody had a conservative Christian background. Everybody was pretty happy with just safe Christianity. And then this guy came out of jail named Pastor James Ree. You think Pastor Paul is rough around the edges. You got to meet Pastor James. You got to see how he ministers. Pastor James grew up on the streets with a lot of African Americans. He was ghetto. He was offensive. He's in your face. He insisted on keeping the mic like this. And preaching like this the whole time. You need the fire of God. Sorry for those listening to the podcast. Pastor James came. And you know what? I was very distracted by the mess. He was messy. His message was messy. I love Reformed theology because of the richness of the messages. And I appreciate a good sermon. And sermons are powerful. They give me life-changing. But I didn't know how life-changing the outpouring would be. And I sat there, and I was very distracted by the mess, but my spirit was, like, going crazy. It's weird. Like, I was all jittery. I was like, whoa. I don't like his message, but I like it. It's weird. It was so weird. And I just... Holy Spirit started putting it in my heart, and I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit, but I was convinced that this guy's going to call people forward for prayer, and people, just something crazy was going to happen. And then surely enough, Pastor Dave comes up to me, he's like, yo, help me out, bro, help me out. He said he wants to pray for people. What do I do? And Pastor Dave, you know, he was new to it, but I was new to it. I was like, I don't know, man. Here, let me just help. And we just got up, and then Pastor James... We didn't even get back up here, and Pastor James, fire, 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 and people are falling on the ground. Nobody catching nobody. And so Pastor Dave and I, we're like, whoa, 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 whoa. What is going on? What is going on? It was me and Pastor Dave for a while, and all of a sudden, Pastor James turns to Pastor Dave and goes, do you want it? Do you want it? Pastor Dave's like, okay. And the fire, and then Pastor Dave goes down. And I was all alone. It was messy. That was our first outpouring of fire. He was raw. His sermon points were not clear. He was yelling into the mic. He would startle people by shouting fire. It was like watching a wild bull just running through our sanctuary. Crazy. Everything was messy, but when the dust settled, everything was different. I mean, people were touched by the fire of God, and things were never the same again. Like our understanding, our mind and our hearts and our heads, we needed some time to catch up to what really happened. But people who could discern what God had done, we all knew something was totally different. The next week when we did praise, it was just on fire. People were singing louder. They were clapping louder. We couldn't hear Elder Kim in the back. Usually he's the one saying, hallelujah. We couldn't hear him because people were singing so loud. Amazing increase came by the strength of the ox. And when God used Pastor James, things got really messy. But you know what? Things got really awesome as well. The increase came. Later on, when I became the prayer team leader, and then I went on to be the lead pastor, I noticed that I also was prone to making a mess. I didn't make a mess in the same way Pastor James would make a mess, but I'd make a mess. I'd offend people. I'd say the right things, but in the wrong way. I mean, people were just stepping all over my crap every week. I was making a mess. I was prone to making a mess. And you know what? Some people didn't want to put up with it, so they left. And then I realized, I too, I'm an ox. And I felt like when I come to God in my prayer closet, I would be like, God, why am I such a mess? Why can't I do things right? Why can't I just be all loving and, you know, be gentle? Why am I such a mess? And I just felt God was like saying, yeah, that's true. You're changed. I'll transform you. It's going to take some time. But let's celebrate what happened. I felt like God always saying that. Come on, don't let the devil put that condemnation on you and kill your joy over what happened. Let's rejoice over what happened. That I did something good. Did you catch it? I did something real good today. And praise the Lord for all those who stayed. Hallelujah. Because we have seen increase after increase. Abundance after abundance. Man, our church has grown so much. You know, Jesus told his disciples, he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He said, so therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Well, you see, the Bible says abundant harvest comes by the strength of the ox. So if there are going to be more workers sent to the harvest field, that means there's more oxen out there. With more oxen comes more messes. But Jesus didn't mention that, right? He didn't say, you know, harvest is plentiful, workers are few. Ask the Lord to harvest, send out some workers. And by the way, there's going to be a big mess. He knew there would be a mess, but he told us to pray that anyway. He said, pray that anyway, because the harvest is very important. You being perfect and keeping a perfect track record free of all mistakes and messes is not the issue here. The issue is the harvest. The issue is the increase of my glory on the earth. He said, ask for these workers to go out. Ask for these oxen to go out and do the work. And in view of all this, brothers and sisters, what we got to do is we got to show people grace. When we see the people of God, when we see ministers of God doing the work of God, when we get involved with ministries that are new or, you know, whatnot, and they're making a mess, show that person some grace. The mess will get less. But the mess ain't going away. So let's just show some grace and love along the way. You know, Pentecost was messy. I don't know when you read, last time you read Acts chapter 2, but Pentecost was messy. People didn't come out in neat little lines. We have just received the Holy Spirit. Would you like to hear the word of God? No. 120 people, they were praying for 10 days straight. They're probably nasty, stanky, didn't take a shower, I don't know what, right? They come out of there, and they look drunk. Oh, snap, oh, I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm filled with the Spirit. And people, bystanders there, gather for Pentecost, they're like, what is that? What's wrong with them? I think they're drunk. Well, it's only 9 in the morning, why are they drunk? And people are just coming out, 120 of them like this. Hey, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. They're like, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on, homie, don't you understand that language? Yeah, that's me, man. What, they saying something? Oh, wow, they speaking my language. I know you can speak that language. I don't speak this language. And people are like, what is going on? This is thousands of people watching this, by the way. You're not talking to just a few. We're talking thousands of people were gathered. The Jewish custom was to gather here at Pentecost. Craziness. It was messy. They were speaking in tongues, looking drunk. But what happened? The Bible says, look at the abundant crop that came in that day. Right after that happened, Peter stood up, preached his first message. And 3,000 were added to the church. Abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. You see, religious leaders, when they saw this, they were probably like, hey, that's a fisherman, and he's from Galilee. This ghetto guy shouldn't be up there preaching. And they're probably thinking that. That's nasty. This is an ox. Nasty. What is he saying? Joel chapter 2? He's misinterpreting that. This is bullcrap. That's what the religious leaders were probably thinking as they watched on. But Holy Spirit was moving. 3,000 people's hearts given to the Lord that day by the strength of an ox named Peter. A fisherman who didn't have everything put together. But when the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, increase came. You know, babies make a mess. And if you are a good parent, you wouldn't yell at your baby. Baby, why? Stop doing that. Stop spilling your milk, baby. What's wrong with you? Like a good parent wouldn't do that. I know parents do that. But a good parent doesn't do that. And you shouldn't do that if you're doing that. Don't do that. Because babies make a mess. We all understand babies make a mess. We think it's cute. Some people think, oh, that's so cute. Baby Christians, inexperienced Christian leaders, when they start getting involved with ministry, they make a mess. They make a mess. When I saw Marcus get up and preach his first message, I was like, what a mess. I didn't say that to him, though. I said, bro, you did a great job, bro. I'm so proud of you. You did a great job. I may have not said that. I may have said that like a week later. My Holy Spirit reminded me. All right, I said something. I said something good. But anyway, I was thinking, what a mess. Or like when I see like some of our intern pastors or some of our lay leaders, they get up, lead prayer for the first time. And I'm just like, oh, snap. Dang, I just wish they didn't say it like that. I'm just thinking, man, what is the prayer topic? That's so messy, you know? And inexperienced leaders, baby Christians, when they do the work of the ministry, it's a mess. But you know what? Check this out. Mature, seasoned pastors and leaders, when it comes time to bring in the harvest, they also make a mess. Their mess might be less, but they're still a mess. Because, you know, the more mature you get, the less mess you should make. But there will be no day where there will be no mess. There will be a mess to deal with. And if the power of God really shows up and people are manifesting demonically, you know, like I've had visitors to our church. And, you know, sometimes the anointing of God is so strong at our church. We've had several incidents where people came in. They thought that, you know, they thought they just were weird because they're dealing with all these weird patterns and OCD symptoms and all these real mental illness symptoms. And they just thought they were weird. They would sit there through the service. At the end of the service, they would start to manifest demonically. And then some visitors would see this and say, I'm never coming back to this church. What kind of church is this? Look, the pastor's doing something wrong. Look, this person's manifesting demonically in a service. Get your story straight, sir. Go read the Bible. When Jesus went around doing good, he healed all those who were oppressed of the devil. Meaning people weren't convinced that they were oppressed by the devil, but when the anointing of the Lord came through Jesus, these demonic spirits will get exposed. And then people will realize, man, I need some help. And Jesus would be like, I'm here to help you. Do you want the help? Be gone. And people will be set free. You see, when messes like that happen in the sanctuary, it's not a sign that Pastor Christian is doing something wrong. It's a sign that there's coming increase. It's a sign that there's abundant crops coming into the house. It's a good sign. I don't stand here and go, oh, yeah, another demonic manifestation. Yeah. No, I look at it. I say, oh, yeah, we're going to set that person free. Amen. And when you see Christian leaders, ministers, when you see them make a mess, let me give you to you the word of God. 1 Timothy 5:17-19, it says in there, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain. When you see people making a mess, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain. I'll read the whole passage for you. 1 Timothy 5:17-19. The elders who direct the affairs of the church, This could include pastors. The elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor. Hallelujah. Especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain. And the worker deserves his wages. So do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. So what the word of God is saying here is saying, if you think a pastor or a leader, especially one who does public speaking, if you think they're making a mess, don't muzzle them while they're doing that work. Don't go right up after the message and say, man, I think this was wrong. I think there are 5 points. This is wrong. I have questions about this. Don't muzzle the ox while it's treading out the grain. If you really have concerns, set up an appointment. Take that person aside. Wait a little bit until that person has calmed down, has finished that work, and is ready to receive some encouragement or some constructive criticism. But don't muzzle an ox when it's doing this work. Don't muzzle them while they're preaching, while they're leading prayer, while they're laying hands and prophesying, while they're doing the work of the ministry. Don't muzzle them. And this goes for me as well. I need to listen to this message. Because when I see a young spiritual leader at our church, a young pastor, any of one of our leaders, when I see them starting to do public speaking ministry, whether that's leading prayer, laying hands, preaching or teaching, when they are doing that, I am so tempted to just go up there and be like, hey, man. Amen. Don't say that. No, you're off on that. I'm so tempted to do that. And the Holy Spirit, you know, every time that happens, man, the Holy Spirit's like keeping me on my seat. You stay. Sit down. Sit down, Christian. Stay there. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Shut up. Shut up. Keep quiet. Don't muzzle the ox. I got to fight it. This word is for me. I got to yield that desire to control. I got to yield that desire to try to correct everything. Especially when they're starting out, they make a lot of messes. And the word of God is saying, just let them be. Let them grow. Some of that is just self-correcting. Show them grace. What they really need for transformation is your love. It's the heart of a father. On top of this, if you believe they're not just making a mess, but you think they're making a mistake, a serious mistake, the Bible says here, don't entertain such accusations unless it is brought with two or three witnesses. So check this out. If you have two or three witnesses that agree that this is not just a mess, but is a mistake, okay, then you take that person aside and you make a loving plan to confront that person. Yeah, you get together with those two or three witnesses, and you come up with a loving plan to confront that person to clarify what exactly happened. But if you are the only person who thinks this way, then I encourage you, you got to talk to the person involved alone. But don't do it right after they preach. Don't do it while they're preaching. Okay? Don't muzzle the ox. Do it later in the week. Set up an appointment. Make a phone call. Don't do it by email. That is cowardly. Can I tell you that? That's cowardly. And our internet generation needs to understand that. You don't break up with people over email. You don't ask them out over email. Let me just speak the truth here. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've done that. Well, I'll show you grace, but check this out. Don't do it again. Ain't no woman going to hear about that and is going to be able to respect you as a man. And if you've got confrontation issues with the minister involved, don't do it over email. You talk to them in a loving manner. But take them aside. You talk to them alone. But if you feel like you don't want to go through all that, well, then keep it to yourself. But do us a favor. Don't go around gossiping and slandering and spreading all that news. It might be just your own speculation. And the Bible says, for those who persist in this type of sin, if you read the rest of the passage, 1 Timothy 5, verse 20, it says, as for those who persist in sin, meaning in this particular sin, rebuke them in the presence of all. You want that to happen to you? Rebuke them in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear. Why such a harsh punishment? Because it's a harsh sin that you are committing. Especially if that person is a public speaker. You know how much damage you can do by spreading slander, speculation? So the Bible says, rebuke that person in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you. That's a pretty serious charge. I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, without coming to quick speculations and judgments and condemnation, doing nothing from partiality. Brothers and sisters, if you think somebody's making a mess, don't muzzle the ox. But if you think somebody made a mistake, make sure you have two or three witnesses. But if you don't, just talk to the person in a loving fashion alone. Or keep it to yourself. But don't spread it in the church. Because although it might be messy, maybe it's not a mistake, it's just a mess. Although it may be messy, there's increase coming. See, the bottom line message here is the mess created by oxen, the mess, or excuse me if this offends you, but I'm just going to say it. The BS. The mess that is created by oxen, the BS is not offensive to God. It might be offensive to you, but it ain't offensive to God. The mess that oxen create is not offensive to God. I'll tell you what's offensive to God. What is offensive to God is the absence of harvest. Is the absence of increase. Is a heart that no longer hungers after God. A heart that has lost its true first love. That's what's offensive to God. If you still don't think that the work of God comes packaged with a mess, let me submit to you the messiest work of all. Your redemption. You want to talk about God doing something and it being very good, but it being very messy? Look at the cross of his son, Jesus Christ. Blood everywhere. People crying, grieving. Jesus shouting on the cross. Roman guards spitting, slapping, chief priests kicking, cursing. The cross was messy. But you see, Christ took on that mess to clean up yours. Because you had a mess that you could never clean up for yourself. And where God saw you, and you're just a big mess, God said, no, you are my mess. And I will put my punishment on my son to clean you up. That is the glorious message. And the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is not just about being neat and nice and clean and safe. It's not Christianity, folks. Christianity is about the glory of God. And the glory of God is going to be revealed through the obedience of his people. And just the thing is, his people they still make a mess. But God's okay with that. He loves to bring His glory onto the earth through people like you and me that are still prone to make a mess, that still have weaknesses, that still have inadequacies. He loves to use you and me. So don't wait until you get to some point in your faith where you're like, I'm ready now. Just serve the Lord today. Live for Him today. Even if you are going to make a mess, it's okay. Because abundant crops and increase come through the strength of the ox. Hallelujah. Let's pray, brothers and sisters. I want the priest team to come up. And you know what? This message doesn't just apply to ministry. It doesn't just apply to Christian service. It doesn't apply just to the cross. It doesn't apply to just physical manifestations in the charismatic movement. This message applies to the way you come before God. You know, some Christians, they're so hung up on coming to God all neat and clean. Even the way they lift their hands has got to be real nice and clean. But I'm here to tell you today, God loves it when you just come to Him as you are. And God loves it when you pour out your heart to Him, even when you look messy, even when you look unclean. You just come before Him as you are. And when you praise Him, do me a favor. Don't hold back. Give Him all your praise, for He is worthy. When David praised the Lord, one of his wives, she despised David. She despised him and said, how the king has defiled himself in front of the subjects today. How you have stripped off your robes in the name of praise. You're a king, David. How could you do that? You know what David said? David said, how could I not? I have to praise my God. Check this out, woman. I will become even more undignified than this. I will be messy. I don't care how messy I am. As long as I praise God with my heart, mind, soul, and strength, everything I got, if I give Him the praise, that's what brings me joy. That's what brings Him joy. I will be more undignified than this. Hallelujah. God loves a messy worshiper. Amen. So I just invite you. Let us worship the Lord.